This KZUM podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Help KZUM continue to grow by donating online at kzum.org. And don't forget to follow us at twitter.com/KZUM radio.
It's 11:05 in the capital city. That means it's time for How's It Growing? Only here at KZUM. Lincoln, thank you for tuning in. And if you're snowed in today and just kind of kicking back and still in your PJs or maybe in your sweatpants, hey, kick back with us for an hour of armchair gardening. I'm Bob Henriksen with the Nebraska Statewide Arboretum.
And I'm Bertine Loop, an Extension Master Gardener with the University Program and an adjunct faculty member at Southeast Community College Continuing Education. I'm laughing, Bob, because I was trying to imagine several people that we know that are really devoted listeners at home in their pajamas today.
Yeah, yeah. And if you made it to work, hey, way to go.
That's right.
And, you know, and if you're home and home from school and snowbound from school, well, boy, kudos to you for listening, because you're probably pretty young to be listening to a gardening show. Hey, we appreciate it, folks. It is 11:05 in the capital city, as we say, and we are the fastest hour in radio, so kick back. And guess what? You know, we had a couple of guests scheduled. And if you are a friend of us on Facebook, which you should be, you can check us out, Facebook, How's It Growing, KZUM, and friend us there. And anyway, well, I made an announcement yesterday that our guests today were going to be George Edgar and Gladys Drink. But however, with the snow, George called, said he snowed in, and Gladys was ready, willing, and able to come in. But we weren't going to put her up to that because it is darn slick out there. So Bertine and I are going to slug it out by ourselves here, and we wish our guests were going to be able to make it today. But hopefully they're listening in spirit. Maybe they'll even call in.
And that would be great.
You know? So if you're listening, George or Gladys, by all means, let's call in and talk. All right. And you are welcome to call in as well, folks. That number is 474-5086. Of course, area code 402. And if you know a friend that loves gardening outside of the KZUM listening area, which, of course, is about 25 miles, you can check us out on the World Wide Web at kzum.org.
Okay, and one of the things I guess I'd like to say is that I'm pretty geared up for the snow today because it's moisture. We talked about how many inches we got, maybe five?
You know, five, six. You know, we need to hear the official. Stan, if you are listening out there, we need your official weather update. Folks, one thing we told you about last week, we're going to have a weekly KZUM weather forecast, you know, the official, made official by Stan, the weatherman. And he pretty much called it.
He sure did.
You know, he said 3 to 4 inches in Lincoln, a little bit over that. And I think when I went to bed last night, there was a pretty good band of snow, you know, down south and west of us. Yeah, Hastings area that you knew was going to be moving our way. And lo and behold, when we all got up this morning, it was a beautiful, fluffy white.
That's right. You know, the last night I was at Extension Master Gardener training for the Advanced Master Gardeners with the university. And there was already snow coming up and was from the south in that angle. So, you know, Stan, the weatherman, was really right on target with it.
Keep it up, Stan. We like it. All right, folks. Again, 474-5086 is the number to call down here if you want to get in on the conversation at all. We need a snow blanket. And I'll tell you a little story, Bertine. Last fall, well, first let's go way back. There's you know, and I don't know why I'm bringing it up now, other than I like the snow cover.
Yes.
And, you know, folks will do cut down cedars and pile the cedars up and then burn them later on. Mm-hmm. Because what was happening down in southeast Nebraska in Richardson County, there's these prairie knolls down there.
Yes.
And on top of these knolls was a species of oak called dwarf chinkapin oak. And it was kind of being overrun by cedar trees. So we went down there in the fall.
I saw the photos.
Whole group, yeah, did you?
Yeah.
A whole group of people from the Forest Service, the landowners down there. It was great meeting the landowners because they wanted to know what was so special about this oak. And this oak is in 8 states threatened, meaning it's all literally an endangered species in the wild. And so we go down there and collect acorns every year thanks to these landowners. So we wanted to do them a favor because every year I've been going down there for the last 10 years collecting acorns and distributing them, whether we grow seedlings or distributing the seed. I saw the cedars just every year getting worse, you know, and I mean, there were some 30-foot cedars in there. So we said, we got to do something. So I proposed to him that I can get a crew of people together, volunteer, come down here and take these out. So we did that last fall. Literally removed hundreds of cedars, piled all these things up with the plan to come and burn them sometime in March or the following year, whatever. it's so dry out there.
You don't want to burn anything.
Yeah, so and it's surrounded by woods down there. So basically you need a thick snow cover in order to do that safely. So we're still hoping to do that. But you can check that out on the Forest Service's website.
Yes.
And that is NFS, short for Nebraska Forest Service, .unl.edu. Or just Google Nebraska Forest Service. You'll find them. And, yeah, and check out that story. It's a pretty cool story. And great people down there. They fed us some great lunch, you know, after we worked so hard. So
that was your favorite thing, I know.
Well, and my favorite thing, too, because I was nervous. There was probably about 20 people on that property about somebody getting hurt. And there were four chainsaws going, you know, something could have happened and nothing did. So good. I was very thankful of that. But good times were had by all, that's for sure. And we did a good service, I think, down there for those trees.
Well, again, that's nfs.unl.edu. And if people want to take a look at that chinkapin oak, they can go to your website, right, Bob?
That's right. And, you know, it is one of those plants we release through as a new plant through the Great Plants for the Great Plains program, which is a plant promotion program. Sponsored by the Nebraska Statewide Arboretum and the Nebraska Nursery and Landscape Association. And so we release that as a new species, obviously coming out of Nebraska. And another cool thing about that tree there in Richardson County, I mean, it's native up in the Great Lakes region. It's native as far east as Georgia.
But isn't Richardson County about the farthest west it would
come? It's the farthest west it occurs in the world. And what we're talking about is a shrubby oak, not
this. Yes, it's lovely. It's my favorite.
That's what I like about it. It's an oak at eye level. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not an oak for every property because I've seen it in too shady of conditions get mildew. But in open, sunny, hot, nasty weather. There's actually one out in front of Finke's if you want to take a look at one.
Yes, there is. I love that one. In fact, I looked at that when I first was looking for oaks for my house. And, you know, the thing about it is I think you ought to do, Bob, is pull that photograph of the chinkapin oak over onto our Facebook page because it's a hard word to spell.
You got it going on. We will do that. And, yeah, I don't have access to good pictures until I get back at work.
That's
right. We will do that. We will post that on Facebook. And what I like about it, folks, and what I'll post on the routine is the catkins. These are oak flowers, in the spring.
Beautiful.
You really don't notice them. You notice them
if you're me
and you have to clean out your gutters.
Yes, me too.
Because oak catkins, my oh my, they plug gutters. Mm. And if you have an oak above your house, you know what I'm talking about. But when they're spent and they come off the tree, and they're usually flowering as the leaves are coming on or just before, so the tree's usually dormant. So on a dwarf chinkapin, these catkins are very sulfur yellow.
Yes,
they're not
beautiful.
This, you know, typical brown that you see, you know, and I heard him described by an oak expert, Guy Sternberg, as tinsel dangling from the tree.
Yes, that's really true, I think.
Really, really nice. And because it's a shrubby oak, we call it an oak at eye level. You can actually enjoy flowers rather than, you know, looking up 50 feet into the air to a big oak tree.
You know, if people go up North 66th Street above O, they'll see that on their right, and it's just at the front of it. It's in that edging in the parking, and it's right in front of the parking lot. It's not in front of the store. It's just a little bit north, and it will just stop you in your tracks when you see it.
Don't look for a big oak, in other words.
No, don't look up. It's about the same level as what you would see with the fruit trees that are there and the understory trees.
It's a good tree, and there's a lot of people interested in it, certainly locally, but as well as regionally. There's a fella down at Forest Keeling Nursery that I exchange acorns with every year because he's just so excited about that tree.
Where does he live?
That is just south of St. Louis, and they're a wholesaler.
Yeah.
And not a lot. There's some Lincoln, or not Lincoln, but Nebraska businesses, I think, that order from them, but basically they're a wholesaler. But anyway... so it's exciting. Literally six nurseries from Mississippi to Wisconsin to Missouri, Oklahoma. I've sent them all over the place, and more people are getting interested in that. So it's pretty exciting.
I think it's exciting, Bob, to hear you talk about what your real work is.
Darn right. You know, and that is just the tip of the iceberg, you know.
That's
we got a lot of other exciting trees coming out of Nebraska that, you know, literally we could talk about too.
And with the dryness, that was one of the things last night at the Extension Master Garden Advanced Training that we were talking about. We just basically had dinner together and talked about what was upcoming for the training for the new Master Gardeners and what's on Advanced Training. And then, of course, we talked about Backyard Farmer. And the theme for everyone this year, of course, is something we really want to remind people of and try to without saying the actual word, which is this is just the beginning of a large, long drought.
Yeah, it is scary, and you can guarantee a lot of folks are talking about it, you know, literally in the hallways at the water cooler. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we going to tell people? And I think... you know, what we're concerned about with the Nebraska Forest Service, Nebraska Statewide Arboretum, is that people are going to say, oh, I'm not going to plant anything this year, you know. But I am hearing people say, well, if I do plant, and I probably will, it's going to be, I'm going to look more towards natives. I'm going to look more towards tough, tough trees.
But the thing about it is, Bob, we got to really encourage people when they use those natives to be aware that those natives grow in soil. They still need mulch, and they need to have the right site, the right, you know, the right plant, you know, and the situation. So that's, you know, they're going to not fail you, but you've got to be aware of what they're like. You know, you can't just plunk them in.
Darn right, and that's what we're going to focus on. The positive, right?
And that's right.
We're going to make a difference. All right, folks, we have a caller on the line. Thanks for tuning in and calling in. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Harold.
Harold.
Hi, Harold. Thanks for calling.
How are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, did you hear our conversation? Are all your trees dying, Harold? I know you plant trees a lot, buddy, and you planted some recently. How did yours fare this last year?
They were doing okay, and then I got some sprayed drift from some herbicide, and that all kind of wait and see now, because it put them back, and I don't know how they'll come out of it.
Right. But you're doing it right. You're mulching around your trees, right? Getting them established.
Yeah. Yeah, the main thing is to have diversity. The old place here had a lot of ash on it, and that's not very good in the long term, I'm afraid now.
So. Right. Yeah, what's going on, buddy?
I just got to ordering some onion plants and got me thinking about springtime, which I've been doing since the first catalog came back.
That's right.
Giving. But, got me thinking about how many people still think that planting onions is the onion sets that are in every hardware store.
Right.
And
those hard little bulbs.
Yeah, and just want to remind people that those are for green onions, and that those aren't made to make a big, nice onion.
Like yours. And, yours is wonderful.
Yeah, I had some onions last year that made 2 and 3 pounds, but you have to order the onion plants.
Okay, so you order the onion plants now if our listeners are out there. And so tell me this, because it's all dependent on day length, right, and how big that onion gets once it reaches a certain day length. Will you explain that to people? And then what is a good time, in your opinion, to get them in the ground?
Well, I put them in as soon as I can, actually, because they come dormant and they look like they're just withered plants, but if you plant them early, and by the time they start to come out of the dormancy, they'll be fine and they'll go. But there's short season, and a lot of people want to plant the Vidalia type onion.
Uh-huh.
and those are short day onions, and they're made for the South.
Mm-hmm.
and they don't do extremely well here, but there's long day onions, and then there's intermediate day onions, and so you kind of want to do your research a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is plant them early, give them nitrogen, because the tops is what feeds the bulb.
Mm-hmm.
and so if you push nitrogen on them, you can get a big plant, and then water them. Obviously, you have to do that anyway, but that's more important now.
Do you mulch them then?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Do you mulch them then with like straw or something as well?
I put a lot of grass clippings down, and the nitrogen will neutralize those clippings, so I compensate with extra nitrogen. But I've got chicken manure and rabbit that I get
from people,
so that's a long-term plan. But
gotcha.
The nurseries will have onion plants. The problem I had last year was people had gone through some of the crates, so what I thought I was buying wasn't accurately labeled, I don't think. So that's why I ordered, but I can't use a whole case of onions, so I got my neighbors to co-op. I called six or eight people around, and so that way I'll still have enough to plant 400 or 500, but then other people will have an opportunity too. So.
Good Lord. 400 or 500 is how many you plant a year, Harold?
Yeah, that's... I planted like 900 and some garlic, so that's...
Oh, you are the man. I like it.
You know, your onion, you left one for me last year at the Old Cheney Farmer's Market, I think, and after I talked to you down there, next time you came into town. And, you know, that was the most beautiful onion at the market that day and for the whole season. It was really huge.
Well, yeah, and size is one thing, but there's some new hybrids that candy onion that's out there has a wonderful qualities of crispness and sweetness.
Mm.
They don't store very long, but I'm making some chicken soup right now, and I got frozen onions that I eat all the time. And so that's another pet peeve of mine with the grocery stores. You can buy these 3-pound bags or 2-pound bags for $3, and they go bad on you in about a week or two.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they're on sale.
That's right. Well, we wish we were there having chicken soup with you, believe us.
Yeah, you're going to have to bring some to the station, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Well, right. You guys have moved again. I'm not sure where you're located.
No, we're not moving again.
No.
KZUM is put. We are here. We are in the neighborhood, just north of Union College, actually.
Well, that's moved from the last time I...
Yes.
Okay.
I don't get to town at all.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yep. Okay. So people don't have to order their onions now. They'll be at the stores in the springtime. But get them in early and plant the plants, and don't plant them deep because onions grow on the soil, not in it. So, okay. Have a nice day.
Excellent, Harold.
That was such a good point.
Good stuff. That's
what
we like.
People all the time think that when they're planting onion sets that they're going to get a large onion, and they don't realize that what they're going to get is a green onion. And he is really an expert on that. I was talking about early and short day, short season, intermediate and long day, long season. And it is true that the long season ones are the ones that are the keeper that people store here and are best for here.
You know, Harold, if you're listening, what I think we need to do is have you send me an email and say, what are your favorite varieties? We should ask them that, too, if that makes a difference. Obviously, you mentioned that candy one that's not a great store, but over the years, certainly he's come across one that he's liked better than others, and we'll post it on Facebook those are.
And the other thing is that we'll have Everett Lundquist with us next week, and they grow great onions out there at their place. And so we'll ask Everett Lundquist, our guest for next week, and he's going to be talking about biodynamics and organic farming and organic gardening. So that'll be very timely. So Harold kind of set the theme here for the month.
Oh, sure did, and kind of did get us excited about spring, didn't he?
We sure did. About onions, we love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Garlics.
You know, but still, I think he brings a good point. A lot of people think they have a brown thumb because they just did the onion sets.
Right.
And all I got were these little inch and a half hard little nubbins. They're for green onions. Plant them close, plant them tight, and chow down.
That's right.
All right. We have another call on the line. Thanks for tuning in and calling in. Who are we talking to?
I assume you're talking to me.
Oh, there you are. We've been wondering about you.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I listen when I can, and I was so impressed that y'all made it in today.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
You'll be impressed that I actually walked my house since KZUM moved in the Union College area, which is my neighborhood. You know, it's about a 7, 9, 10. I guess I didn't count. I didn't pay attention. But anyway.
I said, why am I out here
in the open? I went more towards the buildings at Union College and that wind, because it is breezy out there, isn't it?
Yes.
What's new with you?
Well, what's new with me, when he got to talking about onions, I thought, well, now wait a minute, what are the long storage ones? Because I'm glad you asked him to send an email in with that kind of thing so you can talk about it, because I want to know about the storage ones. My first onions were those onion sets that I put in the ground and wonder why I didn't get good onions out of it. Well, that's why.
Didn't you always think you had a brown thumb? Like, I don't know
what I'm
doing.
What's the matter with me?
Yeah.
This doesn't
onions,
work.
Right?
I finally just used them just as markers.
Yeah, there you go.
They're good for that.
And they do keep critters out, you know. That's definitely something to be said. But again, planting them tight, literally, because in a green onion, you want to, you know, you can have a little bulb at the end, sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we want them nice, long, and straight. By planting them tight, you're not going to get those bulbs, you know, coming out, and just harvest them daily and allow more room for it to get that cute little 1-1.5-inch onion. But, yeah, that's what my brother always does, is just plant them right next to each other and just harvests every day.
I'm wondering, he talked about using frozen onions in his chicken soup.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I thought it wasn't good for onions to be frozen, that they got stronger or weaker or some darn thing.
You know what? I actually have an answer to that. I don't usually have answers.
Thank you, Bertie.
If you go to lancaster.unl.edu, the nutritionist there, Alice Henneman, has discovered and is promoting a way to freeze onions, and you lay them out basically on a cookie sheet, and then you and what you do is you chop them, and mm-hmm. then you lay them on a cookie sheet with maybe something underneath it. I use parchment, mm-hmm. and then tightly seal them, and you can keep them very, very well in your freezer, and they taste just like new. So
in other words, in the past, maybe a mistake we'd all made is just dump them in a gallon bag and freeze them, and they turn into a ball of mush, right?
Well, see how you're talking about. That's how I do green peppers, the bell peppers.
Yes.
I chop them up, I lay them out on cookie sheets, and I freeze them, and then I put them in bags and store them.
That's probably been the number one handout that we've had at the old Cheney Road Farmer's Market, has been the one for onions, because people just really don't know about that technique.
Of course, because we've always heard it makes them terribly strong or something.
We're going to have Alice on the show again here in the not-too-distant future.
Right, and then we'll ask her to bring that along or post it on our Facebook page.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, you got it going on.
Alice and I are working together.
Thanks for calling in, Nancy.
On the Facebook page tomorrow, so it'll be one of the things I'll talk to her about and getting that on there.
Excellent. This is all good stuff.
It is
11:25. We better take our first break, Bertine. We're going to go ahead and take a couple messages here. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit with Valentine's Day coming up. You know, we want you to prep and make sure, you know, if you spend a bunch of money on Valentine's Day, you don't freeze your little babies.
And the day before Valentine's Day, which is the 13th, we'll have our guests will be talking about things other than roses to give. It's going to be our favorite orchid person.
All right. Dwight's coming back. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be right back right after this. Hey, folks. Thank you for tuning in today, and thanks for the calls. The Harold, great information about onions. We're starting to think spring, and what's the first crop we usually think of? Now, of course, you got to include leeks in that, too.
Well, leeks and getting your garlics in, you know, and then as well, you know, those very early spring greens. I've already got some of them started, as well as some early herbs at my house.
Golly, I got to get my act together. You know, I still got to order seeds, you know. And Christina, if you're out there listening, we're going to go in on a little plot together out there. East Campus has an opportunity for staff out there to take advantage of.
I'd like to get some seeds for
rent
me too.
Some plots, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll talk.
Okay.
We'll talk seeds, folks. All right. Again, the number down here is 474-5086 if you want to call and get in on the conversation. Before we took our little break there, we had mentioned with Valentine's Day coming up, you know, for one thing you want to do is make sure, you know, and of course, if you're at a reputable business, they're going to do this. You know, you shouldn't have to think, but don't just, you know, in other words, you can watch them as they're wrapping your flowers, your gift, whatever. Maybe you're even taking a house plant out. You know, even 55 degrees can mess with them, huh?
Well, you know, and Kevin Smith used to come on the program regularly, and now his job has changed. But we were reminded by George Edgar, who was coming on today, about the three-bag theory. One of the differences I see here is that often, you know, you really can't keep those people from packing them that first bag in plastic. But from there on in, you're in charge. You just can't walk on them. I remember selling poinsettias at Campbell's and just going crazy. And we'd take these $100 poinsettias out, and people got big plastic flying in the air. You need to insulate that bag if it's anything under 55 degrees, if it's roses or orchids or any plant, really.
You know, and you might be saying, well, wait a minute, that's way above freezing. It's the shock going from a 75 to 80 degree store, whatever it is in there, and then going out into that cold, right?
It even happens at nurseries. You know, if you get those early annuals, you know, you can take them home and you're just running around. And all these are really good guides for people to pay attention
to. So a day like today, you'd want to use three bags.
Four or five, I think.
I mean, wind chill. Yeah, I mean,
that's
going to be an issue with that getting in the bag. All right, caller, sorry to keep you waiting. Hello, who are we speaking with?
Hi.
This is Richard.
Richard.
Hey, hi, Richard.
What's
Thanks
going
for
on?
Calling.
Hi. Well, you guys were talking about leeks and getting some planted.
But,
you know, I didn't start some from seed. I took the, Delaney used them for making some soup here a week ago or so.
Oh, really?
Just took the little bottoms. We left about an inch on there.
Uh-huh.
Put them in water, got a few little roots started, and I planted them. And they're probably 9-10 inches tall already in a week.
Fabulous.
And so it's kind of nice to see a little bit of that greenery started, you know.
It is.
Especially with all the snow on the ground.
That's right. What a good
idea.
I want
to add to when Bob was talking a little bit about the dwarf chinkapin.
Uh-huh.
I have some up at our place up there in Saunders County.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering, would they handle hot, dry? Is it something more you could go a little further west with?
Yeah, exactly. And you bring up a good point that something we were certainly going to talk about yet today, too, is, you know, what are we going to do if the drought lasts 1, 2, 3, 5, 10? You know, I mean, it seems like it's been going off and on forever since 01 or 02 or whatever it was. But anyway, Richard, yes, that's what we're excited about. Because this is the western limit of this species and it grows on the top of this darn prairie knoll down there, the microclimate down there, it is hot and it is dry and it is limestone mixed with dusty soil. You know, it's nasty soil. So yes, we know it's drought tolerant. We know the plant has gone out to the Pine Ridge and doing okay. And this fella told me, John, that works at Game and Parks, that his friend out there planted, he said he doesn't live in town in Chadron, he lives on the ridge, and he said he planted one out there and it's doing fine. Kimball, Nebraska, western North Dakota,
wow,
-45. And the fella up there in North Dakota that got it years ago, he planted it and now is going to release one. I think it's called Prairie, I'm not going to remember the name. But basically you have to graft this, you know, mm-hmm. for it to come true.
Yes.
But it has more of a cut leaf and whatnot. But it's not going to be readily available right now. I'm just telling you about it. It's lived in western North Dakota for 15 years now, 20 years. -45. So we know it's rock solid hardy, Richard, and would do great up in Erickson area. Is that where you're thinking? Hello?
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Thank you very much.
Hey, wait, one more thing, Richard, before you go. So the leeks, cutting off the bottom of your leeks, are you telling our listeners and me, because I'm not sure about this, if I go ahead and purchase some leeks in the spring, like say, late February, and I want to get some in the ground, can I propagate my leeks that way and get whole new plants then?
Yeah, what it'll do is it'll grow a flower stalk because they're biennial.
Yes.
But it'll also put off a bunch of little tiny baby corms,
uh-huh.
or leeks, bulblets, around the bottom. And then you can plant those and let those grow.
So you just peel those away
and
from
the... And, of course, you can use the green leaves if you want to. And the flowers are beautiful flowers for a cut flower, but they also are very good for insects.
But
And it also works. I've done it with celery, beets, carrots, turnips. A number of other crops that you can do the same kind of thing with. It's just a fun way to get a little bit of green before we actually get a chance to get out in the garden to get our soil in our fingernails.
And, you know, the other thing, Richard, is it's a reflection of what a great composter and soil maker you are, and also that these old methods are still the best.
You know, but I still have more questions for you, buddy, because I want to make sure I understand and, of course, our listeners as well. But, you know, so because what I'm thinking then is, okay, you're getting little bulblets off this main stalk that you can remove and then plant for your leek crop. You're saying outdoors in late winter. Like Harold said, as soon as you can get in the soil, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm on my cell phone. I'm starting to have a hard time to hear you guys. So I might be losing you in a dead zone or something.
Oh, you couldn't hear me there, huh? Well, I was just saying, could those little bulblets, we'll try one more time, that grow off the side of that main stalk, can you take those and plant them outdoors for your main crop then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not my main crop. I usually grow a few from seed,
mm-hmm.
but they will grow up into young leeks too, where you can use them just like spring garlic, you know, like fresh garlic.
Yes.
In other words, these aren't going to turn into the big inch and a half stalks. These are
they won't get near as big as the
gotcha.
The ones you start from the seed.
Gotcha.
Although, you know, if you had really good soil and you water them and compost them and that, you might be able to get them up there to pretty good size before winter. Like last fall, it was a pretty nice fall. We had a couple early frosts, and then we had probably 6-7 weeks where it really didn't get that cold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But again, leek growers, you want to start those seeds like ASAP,
right.
Don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to have those in the ground or get them in the ground while you're looking at the snow outside. Like, it'd be a good day to start your leeks or onions.
You're starting your leeks
real early stuff. I have some friends that are doing cabbage and the cabbage family already, you know, the broccoli and kohlrabi and...
So, Richard,
so.
Are you starting your leeks outdoors? In, right, like you're saying, you'd sow them right on top of the snow and or whenever you can work the soil in your garden.
I don't do that. I start mine inside, but my dad said that my grandmother used to do that with a number of the anything that she planted in the springtime. They would dig the garden in the fall, and then she would just go out on top of the snow. They would actually put stakes in so she knew where she wanted rows of what, and then she would put radishes and carrots and beets and, you know, onions, all kinds of things just on top of the snow, and they just let the snow kind of melt them down into the soil. And
beautiful.
I've never tried that. That's one of my projects now. I'm retired. I'm going to try that and see if it works. He said that's how Grandma always did her garden.
It makes sense because in the spring, of course, in a normal year when we get in moisture, it's often time to hard to work your garden.
Yes.
You know, and you cause more damage than good, and let the freeze-thaw action work that seed in. It gets a little winter vernalization, and you rock and roll. Good man. Good call.
Yep. All right. Anyway, enjoying the show.
Well, thanks.
Have a good day. Happy spring.
All right.
Okay, hope to see you
soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, good stuff. I'm Richard. All right, great advice today. We hope you are learning some things today on how's it growing, and you know, and not just all the things, like he said, everything. You know, what I've been told too, and I've done this with experiences much by accident first, was watching, you know, your leftover watermelon that you forgot to harvest, and it didn't get big, and it, and a volunteer comes up the next year, you know, and then you read it and says, well, go ahead and sow your cantaloupe, your watermelons, any of your vining crops in the fall in your half broken down compost heap, right?
Yes.
And it'll feed off that as it's breaking down. And what's best is the plant knows when the soil temp's right to germinate,
right?
You don't have to guess saying, of course, if you do it in late May, you know the soil temp's right, but it germinates when it is right.
It is.
You don't have to guess.
That's right.
It works. All right, we have another caller on the line. Thanks for calling in. Who are we speaking with?
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hi, how's it growing?
It's growing fine.
So, well, we're not growing, but hey, something is, you know, at least we got a blanket of snow.
Yeah, I'm 30 miles north of you. I only have like about an inch of snow here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
man,
well,
bummer.
And that drizzle we had last week, that was like a tenth of an inch. And so, you know, it was warm out, and I was thinking, oh, this is a good time to do what you guys were saying about watering your trees and stuff.
Oh, good. Good
you
job.
Because it's warm out. Well, and then we had that like a tenth of an inch of drizzle, and the ground is just wet, and the water is not going in. Because it's frozen, I suppose.
Yeah.
So how do you water your trees?
When the ground's
the
frozen.
Litter.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And, you know, basically when you have standing water, I'm not sure what your property looks like, but obviously the soil's frozen. But if your soil is well-drained, it generally drains down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we say, if you see standing water, of course the soil's frozen, it could be a drainage issue where, you know, your plants could be struggling just from drainage, you know. But in other words, if it's mounded up or well-drained soil, it generally drains even when the soil is frozen. It works down in that, in those holes and the cracks in the soil. But yeah, you're right. What we basically mean to folks is water in the wintertime when the conditions are right. And like you said, well, I went out, we had that drizzle. We know the assumption was the soil wasn't frozen, and you'd be just fine with that. What the general rule is if there's no snow cover.
Right.
And, of course, warm, mild conditions. Last winter, you know, the soil for a lot of folks didn't even freeze.
No.
You know, I think this year has been different. Obviously, we had that, you know, whatever it was, about a foot of snow sitting on the ground for, what, 6 weeks, it seems like. It sat on the ground forever.
Yeah.
So that soil didn't have a chance to thaw out. I mean, basically, yeah, sitting there, you're seeing standing water, you're saying?
Well, yeah, and then it finally went in.
Percolated, as they say.
Right.
You know, after several days, you know, that warm weather.
Did you see it standing in more in low areas than you did other areas, though? Low areas.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, is those low areas are going to drain slower or fast.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does do for land managers, they'll look at these like, say you're taking care of some place that's paying you to take care of it.
Yes.
They'll watch those patterns in the wintertime to say, you know, maybe I can improve that to get better drainage. You know, why is that important? Because those areas are usually low in oxygen and roots like to grow in the space in between soil. Rather than, you know, in not necessarily waterlogged with it so dry, but, you know, oxygen depleted soil, is what.
Could I aerate those areas then?
You can aerate those areas. You know, there's probably not a whole lot a guy can do to improve them other than, you know, eventually raise the grade by just putting compost in those low areas, and eventually you're going to raise that profile. And
these
it's not
kind of under the trees, so I,
mm-hmm. oh,
you know,
so
I didn't really want to add more
soil
to that.
Now, compost you can get by with. And again, it's not critical. I'm just saying if you want to improve, and I think we all need to be thinking this with drought tolerance,
yes.
How can I make my tree more drought tolerant? Feed the darn thing. You know, and we're not talking burying it 6 inches of compost. We're talking,
right.
You know, an inch. Just mm-hmm. scatter it around every year is going to go a long ways.
Yeah.
Versus,
well, we've been taking the sod out and replacing it with ground cover like a,
yay,
well,
good.
You know.
Yep.
And that's just wonderful.
Yes, it is.
You don't have to mow it.
Exactly. Much easier. And I think that's the thing we got to think of. Take the mulch out to the drip line if you can. You know, not every site's going to be able to do that. But if you can, that's the least we can do. Mm-hmm. Unless, it, you know, if this drought continues 1, 2, 3, 5 years, you better start thinking of that this year.
That's right.
What we see is a lot of white pines dying, but we're also paying attention to where they're dying, you know, what kind of conditions they're in. Was the root system bound up in there? Did it grow 6 feet a year? And then all of a sudden it's saying, whoa, what's this?
Yeah, we got that problem too. They planted this windrow and planted it too thick. They thought, well, I think it's just right. But now that was 50 years ago, and they're starting to die off, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's
they're all the same species.
I'm hearing some exactly. That's, you know, and I'm sure that compact, tight space did have something to play in it. But we do like letting our conifers. We encourage that, growing them in groups.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not too tight. But you know, where you see white pines still seemingly doing great are when they're in groups and the needles are allowed to drop. And they don't get raked up, but they're allowed to drop out to the drip line. Yep, and you keep the branches on to feed the tree rather than limbing up so a semi can drive under it. You know, there's all those different things that we need to do. And my fear is a lot of the younger trees, 5, 10-year-old trees that we're going to see in the landscape that may or may not perish. Was it because of the drought, or was it because of because of the dead soil and because they had turf up to their trunk, robbing any sort of moisture that came down? Was the tree planted too deep? Was the tree planted from a pot and it was completely pot bound, and it's finally showing up in a drought?
Those are all great questions. Yeah.
And also, were they planted? I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and are they planted in the right place? Because I can see when I drive down off of Sheridan Boulevard, and there's a grouping of about 6 young ones, and they're at a corner where that's asphalt on one side and it's concrete on the other, and there's 6 of them.
Poor little trees.
And they're facing the south, you know, and they're exposed. And that's not, you can't do that with white pine here.
Oh, the white pines, and they're burning, you're saying?
Yeah, they're gone.
Ah, poor little fellers. Yeah, and then you go to places you think it's bad here, you know, and that's not bad, you know. It's not like they intended, you know, they'd given a shot. But you go out to places like Scott's Bluff, which we give tree talks out there, and you're like, you're going around their, you know, gazillion-dollar new hospital that they built, and they did landscaping around it that cost, you know, $100,000 or something, and you're looking at these 15-foot white pines all getting toasted in the south in the Scott's Bluff wind, going, huh? This is not Minnesota, you know, guys. This is. So you could just see the poor, you know, and birch trees, you know, river birch,
wow.
And you're just going, oh boy, we got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
So anyway.
So I'm surprised that you're burning this. Now this cedar, this is like what they call salt cedar. This
the red cedar. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the magnificent. Yeah. Anyway, I'm still thinking, why don't you grind that up? It's valuable.
Yeah,
heck, you go to the store and you spend a lot of money on cedar as a rodenticide or a deterrent. Anyway.
And you make soil out of it as well. In fact, Bob's helped me make soil out of that at my house.
Dave, I don't know if you go to the NFS.UNL website, Forest Service website, and look at the terrain, you'll see why. In fact, one of the volunteers said, why don't we just take ATVs and, you know, and pull the stuff out? And, you know, and I'm like, when we got there, he said, okay. Say no more. You know, we had to hike in there a good couple hundred yards mm-hmm. with all of our gear just to get through the woods. And what's great about the woods down there, it's where a lot of our species meet their western limit, from red oak to shagbark hickory to bitternut hickory to chinkapin oak to, you know, red buds, black cherries. I mean, on and on and on. They're all down there in these woods. And, you know, it sounds glamorous and all that, but you still got to traipse through all that. And then you got prickly ashes and understory grabbing your clothes. There was no way we were pulling out any cedar to try to salvage. Forget about it.
Or even hauling in a chipper.
Yeah. In a perfect world, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm really happy with these call-ins about the leeks and the onions. And
great.
That's got me excited. And this fellow, I have two questions then. When you're planting your green onions, do you want to, like, do, you know, a group, a patch, and then a couple weeks later do another patch?
Sure.
Can.
And when are these big, long onions going in?
Well, yeah, but let me back up a little bit. I know what, you know, I've done, and my brother does every year. He just, you know, when you go to the store and you buy your package of onion sets, he just packs them in literally right next to each other. So they come up long and narrow like green onions, and then he'll just harvest every other one or every third one to kind of thin them out, you see. And what's great about that is you're using less garden space.
Yep.
And, you know, and as you're thinning them out, you're allowing the ones in the middle to get a little bigger, kind of like you would with your radishes.
Like the French biodynamic intensive farming coppicing, they call it, and that's that technique, which I'm looking forward to speaking with. Everett, is that his name?
Yes, he's on next week. And the other thing is that, you know, that's a really good plan to do for container gardening, because it's packing stuff in is what you do with container gardening. And those green onions especially deter varmints. They also deter, like, insects that are damaging. And they're right there below the surface, and so they're not taking up a lot of space. They're giving you a very nice vertical lifter in your pot.
Surround your garden with them, huh?
That's right. You could.
So what about, when are we putting in these long day onions then?
You know, like Harold said, as soon as the soil can be worked, you know, and that's why, you know, Richard's point was very valid,
well,
is, you know, work that soil in the fall. And of course, if you didn't get her done, you didn't get her done. Mm-hmm. But work that soil in the fall so it's nice and friable. And what I always do, if my soil's not quite, you know, perfect like everybody's, I'll just dig it up in big chunks, and then I'll drop the compost in between the cracks to make it all. And then as the freeze-thaw goes on over the winter, those, they just kind of disintegrate and melt into each other, and everything's beautiful. And then you can work it, and obviously when you get moisture like this, and then that, it's going to take a while for it, the mud, to disappear. But as you very well know, as dry as it is, boy, it's
fast.
Are we talking seeds at this point, or
either one?
Okay.
Yep. And that's why I was asking him about mulch, right? For me, if I was going to do my onion sets or plants now, I would go ahead and mulch over the top of that for sure.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Well, hey, thanks. Thanks for this great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. You are listening to KZUM Lincoln and How's It Growing. Our regularly scheduled guests, George Edgar and Gladys Durant, could not make it due to the snowstorm. And we're going to call it a snowstorm. It's official.
Right.
all right, folks. We're going to go ahead and take our last break here. And we'll be right back. Just a quick message. We have about, 5-6 minutes left. We'll be a quick message, and we'll be right back. All right. Well, contrary to what you were thinking, folks, the show, it's not quite over yet. I hit the wrong button. I apologize for that. So we had Hightower a little earlier than you expected, but still good to hear from Jim. Welcome back. This is How's It Growing right here on KZUM Lincoln, where we are still rookies after 13 years.
That's right.
Hey, folks. The show is pretty much coming to an end. We got about 3 minutes left, just enough time to make announcements. Again, join us next week when
we're going to have Everett Lundquist with us. He teaches at Southeast Community College Continuing Education, and he's the co-owner of Common Good Farm. And he'll be talking about biodynamics and organic farming and gardening. So we hope you'll join us for that. Followed by him on the 13th, we'll have Dwight Langus, who is our orchid specialist, talking about things other than roses for the holiday. And that'll be followed by Vaughn Hammer the next week. And Vaughn's back with us. He is going to be talking about native fruits and about grapes, so that'll be wonderful for February. I did want to mention to you, too, that last night I was putting together some things to tell everybody about. One thing we want to be sure to remind people of is the Nebraska Sustainable Agriculture Society's annual conference on the Rural Advantage. And you can still go to Nebraska Sustainable Ag, or you can go to Rural Advantage on Facebook and learn more information about the speakers that will be there. There are still tickets available. The early bird price is gone, but you can still get there and come for part of the show at least. Then Community Crops has started their cooking and their gardening classes, as well as their classes for new farmers. You can go to communitycrops.org to get their newsletter and find out what's going on with them. And then finally, on February 17th, the Coffee and Conversation group at Nebraska Educational Television is meeting down at the Ross. And our guest, Georgia Jones, is going to be talking about healthy soul food. So good luck with that one, Georgia.
That should be fun.
And we're going to try to get the post on about how to freeze onions and more for you to be able to see a chinkapin. And then perhaps some more stuff about those early crops you can do on top of the soil right now. I, for example, made a mesclun. I always do my own. And those very early tart greens, I just went out and seeded them on top of the soil and put some mulch over them. And they couldn't do just fine when you do that in the containers. They're great. Spinach especially.
You'll find yourself visiting them every day, won't you?
I do. Yes,
every day. And cook with them every day. And they're so good for you. You know, and which brings me to, folks, use the How's It Growing KZUM Facebook page to communicate with each other.
Yes.
So we all learn together. So, Harold, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you are a Facebook fella, and I think you are, I'm not sure, if you're still listening. But please do. I think that goes a long ways if we all just, you know, communicate there through the How's It Growing KZUM Facebook page so we all learn together. Here's maybe a variety that you really liked. Here's what I do with my onions that made me really successful, or your leeks or whatever.
And if you know of a meeting or you have an event coming up, you're welcome to post it on our Facebook page, and we'll make sure that everyone gets it, because that's one more way that you can talk about what you're interested in, and we can all pay attention to what's going on around us. We have the drought monitor group at the university is coming onto our Facebook page. And then, as Bob has mentioned several times, Stan, the weatherman at the university, posts weekly on our page to let you know what the gardening weather is going to be. And then, of course, my favorite one, lancaster.unl.edu, that'll take you anywhere. And it always gives you the average day daily temperature at some point on the season. And, of course, on St. Patrick's Day weekend, everyone we know will be out at the event center talking about gardening and seeing the different booths, and you can meet all the organizations there.
All right. Until next week, have a good one, and don't get in a fender bender.
No, hasta luego.